Good morning. This morning, I'd like to also welcome all our guests. We thank you for joining us. But this morning, we are going to look at a text in which Jesus tells us a parable that's familiar to most people. It's the story of the loving father. Now, somebody may say to me, well, what's that one all about? I don't remember that one from Sunday school. But most of the time, what we hear it called is the story of the prodigal son. But the story is really not about the son. Rather, it is about the loving and gracious father. The father who runs to the son and forgives him. The father who steps outside to try to bring his proud son in to the celebration. The father who does everything to show how much his children are loved. And because God is like this father in the parable, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then 11 through 32. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and there and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring us hither the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come home, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Amen. Please be seated. Our parable starts out in a place where all the publicans, all the tax collectors, and the sinners were gathering around Jesus. Now, it's very interesting because when you deal with this, these are not the sort of people that anyone wants to hang around with. Yet Jesus Christ has no problem with them. And in fact, the religious leaders of the day, they have the problem. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And this is the thing that we deal with. Because unfortunately, sometimes we can be like the Pharisees and the scribes. We worry about what other people are doing. We worry about how sinners might make us dirty, how the world might somehow cling to us. And so Jesus tells this parable. He actually tells a couple before this, but this is the one that we're going to focus on this morning. The man with two sons. The younger does something that is totally despicable. And the younger of them said to his father, "Give to me the share of the property that is coming to me," and he divided his property between them. Now really, when the young man in the custom of the time asked for this, what he really asked for is that his father would be dead. "Dad, die, so I can have my money." Now, most fathers, in this case, I can just picture my fathers, if I would ask that question, would have asked that question, they would have probably kicked me somewhere and sent me packing. But not this father. This father divides up what he has and gives it. He gives it to his son. And the younger son takes off. He gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country where he squandered his property with reckless living. And we all kind of seem to sometimes focus on this because it seems like, well, this is where we should focus. You know, the squandering of the wealth, the reckless living that this man spent, all his father's money. But it's interesting because we kind of look at this whole thing that later on, as he gets broke and he's hungry, he comes to some repentance. But let's look a little closer at those verses. "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs." Now we got to stop there, because this is one of the lowest things you could do. Pigs were unclean. They were nasty. You would never, ever feed pigs. And then he also joined himself to a citizen of another country. Now all the Pharisees that would hear this would think that this is one of the worst of sins that you could do. And he had nothing to eat. And then it says, "But he came to himself and he says, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your servant. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" As I was thinking about this and as I was looking at it, we kind of look at this in many times as his repentance moment. But really what it is a moment where he's hungry. He's looking at it going, Well, I know a place where if I go there and I say the right words, at least I can be hired on as a servant and I'll get my belly full. He's not going back to ask his father's forgiveness. He's going back basically to say, hey, hire me. Let me work so I can have food for my belly. And so even in this, his motives aren't necessarily pure. But he does go back to his father's house. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him. Again, we have to understand something of the culture. An older Jewish man would never run. That would be beneath his dignity. And he certainly wouldn't run to a son who had squandered his living and asked him to be dead. But that's not this father. This father sees his son a long ways off. Before his son has any time to say anything, to do anything, he runs to him. He throws his arms about him and he kisses him. Now the son, he still thinks this is a whole different deal. He's about to now start to go into his spiel. And he says, Father, I have sinned against you against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servants. That was the end of the spiel. The father cut him off right there. There was nothing that he was going to say that was going to change what the father was going to do for him. The father has the servants bring out the robes. Or the robe. Bring the ring. The sandals for his feet. So from head to toe, from fingers to his whole being, he was now again the man's son. He didn't ask for it. He didn't even ask for forgiveness. He just said, I'm not worthy. But the father does not care. The father, all he sees is his son. This wouldn't have necessarily meant as much to me until a couple of years ago. But I can understand this. To see your son, especially one whom you thought was lost to you. It's easy to forgive. It's easy to understand that. And yet, this is an extraordinary thing. Because in the time of the day, this would have never have happened. And in fact, even today, most of the time, someone would want their pound of flesh. But the father wants a celebration. And so they bring out the fatted calf. They kill it. Let us eat and let us celebrate. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. This is the great love that the father has for a sinner. This is the great love that God has for us. For the Father represents God in this case. God has forgiven us. God, before we could even think to ask for it, has run to embrace us. God shows his grace and his mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ. To the point of what we heard in our scripture reading, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. God wants us to realize that he has paid the price through his Son, that we are reconciled to him, that there is no longer that sin between us and God. It's been blotted out. It has been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are in the midst of the celebration. The Father has done everything to reclaim us as his own. This is one of the greatest things about this parable, because we like to kind of focus on all the bad things that the prodigal did and then look at ourselves and go, oh, that's me, I'm the prodigal. That's true to a point. But the biggest point of this is how much the Father loves. And in fact, he goes on to show his love to the older son. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. And one of the servants called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. And he was angry and refused to go in. Now here's the brother who thinks, as we'll find out earlier, that I'm great. I've done all that the Father has commanded. I've followed all the rules. I've done all the work he's asked me to do. And here he is. Here you are, Dad. With my brother, who goes out, spends all your wealth, and you throw a party for him. Now the father has every right at this point to be mad at the son, but the older son. The father is free to do with his grace and his money and all his blessings what he wants to. And he chose to bless his younger son with forgiveness and mercy and a great celebration. But the father goes out from the celebration to call his older son back. Again, something that is against the culture. The father would not go to a son. The son was supposed to come to the father. And the older son is still upset. Look, many years I served you. I never disobeyed your command. And yet you never gave me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And here is really where the Father shows his grace and his mercy. When he says, and actually I've skipped verse 30. But when this son of yours who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Yes, the father did all those things. But he says this to his older son. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You see, the Father has already given everything to his older son. Everything of value his son can have from him. He wants his son to understand that his brother is home. That the one who was dead is now alive. That there is reason to celebrate. Whenever someone comes to the realization of the gospel, when they come to themselves, there is reason to celebrate. It is fitting to celebrate, to be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. You see, the story has two brothers. One that went off with his father's wealth and riotous living. And as he comes home, the father shows grace. And one who is upset and self-righteous because the father would throw a party when his younger son came home, when the one who was lost came home, the one who the father looked upon as dead to him. And yet, the father shows his grace and mercy to him too, explaining to him, "All I have is yours." We can go and identify with either one of the sons, but the point of the story is not about the sons. The point of the story is about the Father. The point of the story is about God, who is gracious to mankind, be it either direction. The point of the story is that God has embraced you, loves you, and cares for you. Be you a sinner or a righteous Pharisee. And God has sent his Son to shed his blood for your sins, that you would be found in his Son, Jesus Christ. And there would be a celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.